Our reading comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 20, verses 20 through 28 this morning. Then the mother of the sons of Zebedee came to him with her sons, kneeling before him. She asked a favor of him, and he said to her, "What do you want?" And she said to him, "Declare that these two sons of mine will sit, one at your right hand and one at your left in your kingdom." But Jesus answered, "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I am about to drink?" They said to him, "We are able." And he said to them, "You will indeed drink my cup, but to sit at my right hand and at my left, this is not mine to grant, but it is for those with whom it has been prepared by my Father." And when the ten heard it, they were angry with the two brothers, but Jesus called to him and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones are tyrants over them. It will not be so among you, but whoever wishes to be great among you must be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you must be your slave, just as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." This is the word of God for the people of God. You may be seated. I was thinking a lot this week about what it means to serve, what it means to serve God, what it means to sort of put yourself last. And the stories that kept popping into my head were all the stories about when I put myself first, when I felt powerful, when I moved up the ladder, when I kind of checked up a couple rungs on the hierarchy and kind of moved up the pecking order a little ways. And it was funny because one of the most incredible times that I felt the biggest and the largest, I felt like I had really truly arrived, came out of one of my most powerless moments. Have any of y'all ever had a bully? Any of y'all ever been bullied? Do you feel like I'm bullying you asking you that on the spot? Is that what's going on here? Has anybody ever stood up to a bully? There you go. Yeah. That is an incredibly powerful thing when it goes well. And there was one afternoon, my sister and I were rollerblading through the middle school that was in our neighborhood. And this was up kind of south of Seattle. So all the schools were kind of open-air schools. There's different buildings for the classrooms, but all the buildings are connected by open-air breezeways. So there's a lot of concrete, there's a lot of steps, there's a lot of rails. So we used to go rollerblading and skateboarding in these courtyards at the school during the summer all the time. So one day we were kind of rollerblading through this courtyard, and she was way on the other side of this open-air courtyard, and I was way on this side. And I heard some yelling, and I heard my sister very upset, and I glanced over, and there was this crowd of guys, these high schoolers, that were sort of like crowded around her and were messing with her. Bullies from the neighborhood. And we typically always avoid them, but it seems like we had kind of been at the wrong place at the wrong time. And so have you ever had that moment where it's like you got to decide what you're going to do, and you know what you have to do, but you don't really want to do it? It was like I had this kind of like out-of-body experience where I just saw myself kind of skating over in that direction, not really knowing what I had to do, but knowing that it had to happen in that direction. And so I was kind of moving, and I remember kind of thinking to myself, being like, well, it's been a good 11 years. This is it. You know, it's more than a lifetime for some. And just really realizing that I probably was going to die and kind of coming to peace with that. But just realizing that I could not go home without my sister. I couldn't leave my sister like that. And so I skated right into the group of these guys. And there was a guy right in the middle. And he had grabbed the bag that my sister had, and he had thrown it up on the roof of the gym, just right next to where they were. And I didn't know what I was supposed to do, so I just pushed him. Which, if any of y'all are familiar with the laws of physics, when you do that in roller skates, it's not nearly as effective. And he pushed me back, and I kind of stumbled, and I ran into like the guys that were behind me, and they pushed me back into the circle. And he grabbed me by the straps of the backpack that I was wearing, and he began to sort of spin me around as fast as he could. Again, it's Standing up to bullies in roller skates is not the best idea. I don't recommend this. But as we were sort of spinning over and over, like as fast as he could, I just remember like my hand rose up as if possessed from my body. And I just changed direction suddenly, and I turned and I punched him right in the face. And I think I was a lot more surprised than he was. As it was this moment that he just kind of sprawled out like in front of me in the circle of his friends. And it was as if God sort of like pushed a pause button in reality. And everything just kind of froze in that moment. And nobody really knew what to do. And then it was as if God just sort of hit the fast forward again all of a sudden. And everything kind of sped into motion. And his friends kind of picked him up. And they all just ran and just scattered off. And man, I felt amazing. I was like, yeah, a little 11-year-old just beat up a high schooler. This is all right. I was like, I can get used to this. I didn't have to get in any fights after that anymore. People generally left us alone. It was awesome. I was like at the top of the food chain, all because of physics and momentum and pretty much luck, I'm imagining. And I remember just the feeling of being powerful, of sort of like taking the fate of the situation back for myself. And it was amazing. And I wish that my story about bullies could kind of end there. But a couple years later, when I was going to that school, when I was one of the students, there was also another student that went there named Derek. And Derek was a little bit different than everybody else. He dressed a little bit different. His clothes did not always match. His clothes were not always clean. His hair was not always done. He acted a little bit different. He was interested in weird things. His classes kind of looked different than everybody else's. And everybody kind of picked on Derek. And I was, like I said, kind of, you know, at the top of the food chain at this point. And because everybody else picked on Derek, I picked on Derek. And because everybody teased Derek, I teased Derek, and I felt like I had this reputation. I felt like I had this power. I was kind of up on the hierarchy, and it was sort of my way of asserting my dominance. But I think one day, Derek had had enough. He had been teased just a little bit too much. He had been pushed just one more time than he wanted, and he pushed back. And he and I got into a fight there between two of the buildings at the school. And I remember during this fight thinking that this was a terrible idea. Because I didn't know Derek. Derek didn't do anything to hurt me. Derek didn't throw my sister's bag on top of the school or try to hit me or anything like that. And he and I got into this scuffle, and I remember we ended up wrestling, and I knocked him over, and I pulled him through a mud puddle. And he ended up having to go home that day, wet and dirty, and I think probably feeling as powerless as he never ever had up to that point. And I remember how sickening I felt with myself and how ashamed of myself that I was. That I had used my power, my position, to step all over somebody else. And in the moments when I felt powerless, how terrible that was, that I would do that to another human being. How incredibly ashamed I was of myself. And looking back, I don't remember if I ever had another conversation with Derek in middle school. I don't know if I ever apologized. But I do know that he and I never got into a fight again. I do know I never picked on him again. I do know I never teased him again. And I tried to stand up for what I could, but I could never make up for that way that I had been put in a position to have some sort of influence over my life and over a space, and I had used it instead to crush somebody else because I just needed to be at the top. Because the truth and the reality is in that moment, I realized that out of every kid in that school, out of every friend that I had, and every stranger that I ran into, that I was the absolute worst out of all of them. The bottom when it truly came to matter. We come to an interesting story in the Gospels where the sons of Zebedee's mom, James and John's mother, comes up sort of dragging her sons behind her. I always imagine it's maybe by the ears. It's always kind of fun to sort of march in, and James and John are like, "Mom, I told you I don't want to do this." And they pull them up in front of Jesus, and she tells Jesus that she needs a favor. She wants her sons to move up the ladder. Out of all the people that followed Jesus, out of everything that Jesus is trying to do in this world that he is trying to save, she knows who needs to be number one and number two. She wants her sons, one on the right hand and one at the left, when Jesus is in his kingdom. And Jesus seems to take that moment to drive home the point that you don't know what in the world you're asking. And I think they get caught up in that same pride and that ego and that same righteousness that we get caught up into as well, of saying, "Lord, if there's anybody who's going to be first in your kingdom, I want to be the one that's the most faithful. I want to be the one that gets there the most. I want to be the one that shows the most heaven to everybody. I want to be the one that shines like heaven like nobody else." And Jesus says, "You're missing the point altogether." And in fact, the point begins to illustrate itself in a really powerful way, because it says then that the other 10 find out what the other two are trying to do. And it all starts to unravel in this middle school sort of schoolyard scuffle as they all try to assert who really should actually be at the top of the food chain and the top of the pyramid. Who really is the most faithful? Who deserves the most to be at Jesus' right hand and left? And Jesus takes that moment to illustrate one of the most powerful points that he ever has in his gospel, that there is something different about this kingdom than the world that is around it. He said, "The Gentiles in the world, everything that is around us, they lord over the ones that have power, the ones that have dominance. They assert themselves. They dominate. They are the ones that need attention, that need the structure. They are the ones at the top. But I am here to tell you that we should be the ones at the bottom." And how disappointing that might have been, and how frustrating for his disciples to hear that there is no glory or power in this life that does any good whatsoever if we are not the ones at the back of the line following after Jesus. That every time we have tried to move ourselves forward, every time that we have tried to move up that hierarchy or that food chain, we have completely lost sight of what this kingdom is all about. And so Jesus shared with them what it means for a God to come and to pour out his life so that others might be freed from sin and this promise and this word that everybody has spoken over them, that they have no position in life. That God has come and made himself like a servant. And if God can do that, then I think God expects us to do the same. Because the good news comes with a difficult truth. That every person we are disgusted by and frustrated by and disappointed by and hate and despise and dislike and annoy us and move away from us, that dress differently than us and think differently and talk differently and do all the things that we hate and are annoyed by, starts with the mindset that each and every one of those people are better than us and deserve more than us. And that is a hard truth. And it's a hard truth because it is nearly an impossible mindset to hold on to. And yet it is the truth of the gospel that Jesus lived out for us, that the one who is perfect and deserved all the things to inherit in this kingdom of this universe of creation came down and made himself a servant for us. And if we follow in his example, then we were made to serve. We were made to serve God, and we were made to serve others. So our prayer this week becomes one that asks God to put us at the back of the line, to make us last. That if we have any power or privilege in this life, that we will use it to move to the back of the line, to serve those that are before us, that they might be the ones to taste first the fruits of the kingdom of God and come to know firsthand what it means to feel grace and compassion and love and the truth of the kingdom. Because all of this brings us to a story of a God who poured out his life for us. And on that last night that Jesus shared with his disciples, he showed them exactly what a servant looks like. As he took a towel around his waist, filled a basin with water, and he got down and he washed his disciples' feet. And he said, the one who should be the first among you, that he was making himself the last. And by God, I think it's by the last of this line that we can help change this world. By putting ourselves last, we are taking the first step in choosing to turn ourselves away from our own desires and our own ideas and to pursue after God. And by us being the first ones to turn and change, then we are opening up the opportunity for others to see what change and transformation looks like.